Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Breaching Extinction podcast. I hope you guys all had a wonderful few weeks because this has been super intermittent. But I'm here with Maddie. What's up, Maddie?
Hello, we're in person again.
It's kind of wild.
It's crazy, actually.
Yeah. The last time we recorded was at the Poodle House.
It's funny that you, like, just call it the Poodle House because I feel like Poodle House, like, could have, like, several different, like, meanings.
And it's a, it's where the poodles live that I watch. That's what it means.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the Poodle House sounds like it could be, like, a cool gay bar.
It is a cool gay bar. That's where we were hanging out. No, I babysit some poodles sometimes, and it's called the Poodle House because it's their house.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the Poodle House. But...
yeah.
Yeah,
so I'm back.
So you're back, I'm back, but we're not back for long because this is coming to an end, at least for now.
Season finale.
Podcast finale.
Yeah, series finale.
I feel like that puts a lot of pressure on it for it to be good, and it's not gonna be. Maddie's just, like, shaking her head. She's, like, making a face. She's like, it's not gonna be. We're not gonna wow them with this episode. Not gonna give them the old razzle-dazzle.
It's really just a formality.
It's kind of just a formality because, to be honest, I've been, like, pretty checked out of this because there have been so many other things going on. And it's like, I feel like in order for me to actually, like, walk away and not have it on the back of my mind, I need to take the formality of having a final episode. So here we are.
Yeah, and good thing I'm here because just spice it up a little bit.
So I've been doing the podcast since 2019. It's 2023. So, like, 4 years now. That's a minute.
Summarize.
So it started out, this journey started out with me moving to the San Juan Islands, so I guess we could just start there. So when I was, like, 23, I had always wanted to see a whale, and at the time I'd forgotten that I had actually seen whales before. My first whale was beluga whales, and I, like, always forget that, because that was, like, super far away and, like, from a distance.
Should be unforgettable.
I know, but, like, there were just, I don't know why, but, like...
You also saw a polar bear at this time.
I did see a polar bear at the same time, so it was, like, the polar bear kind of... yeah. Trumped the belugas.
That does make sense.
Yeah. So I wanted to, like, see killer whales. That was, like, always my dream. And so I was like, okay, like, we're going to go up to the San Juan Islands, do a little visit. I go visit the San Juan Islands for the first time in my life in March of 2019. Wow.
Did you just not go back?
So I did go back, but I went there and I, like, fell in love with it. And I was like, I have to move here. So I applied to, like, every company, and most of them do their hiring in, like, November, and, like, I slid in with, like, this one company who I guess had, like, somebody cancel last minute. I was like, fuck yeah, like, let's go. So I was a kayak guide and a whale watching naturalist on board, and that was, like, my first whale watching gig. And while I was up there, I started to learn more and more about the southern residents, and I wanted to, like, dive into that more deeply because it seemed like a very complex issue to me, which obviously 4 years down the road later, yes, it's very complex issue, very multifaceted.
More than complex.
And so I was set out to do 12 episodes of just, like, this is my little, you know, I was curious. I wanted to talk to people. Like, having a podcast kind of gave me the excuse to do that. And also I thought maybe other people would be interested. So that's how this all started. And then it kind of just became one of those things where I was like, there's so much to talk about with the Southern residents that for weekly episodes, almost consistently for 2 years, it was content, like, every Friday about the Southern Resident killer whales and, like, what was going on with them and then, like, a new perspective in relation to them. So I just feel like it was, like, a deep dive into, like, the Southern Resident killer whales, which for those of you who are new, which hopefully you're not at this point, this is really just for the...
That would be sad.
This is really just for the homies that, like, yeah, that have been here... who I do have, like, a group of people that, like, I will see that anytime I post something, like, within, like, 10 minutes, like, there's, like... A small group of people that will listen to it, like, right away. So this is who that's for.
This is for you.
But yeah, so that's how I got started. And then it was like, I, you know, after talking about that for a while, I was like, okay, I want to talk about other things. So I just switched to more general science topics. But I've definitely had, like, a lot of really weird things happen along the way. Yes.
So I have something to add because, like, when I kind of first met you, because after you worked in San Juan Islands, you moved to Monterey, California, where we met.
Yes.
And I, like, didn't know you too well, but I came over to your house, and you had, like, the whole, like, all the mattress lines, like, every single member of the Southern Residence, like, as, like, your wall decor. Like, it was, like, and I feel like you had been crying or something, and
oh
I,
my
like,
God.
It was, like, this is your, like, something that you're very passionate about.
So what
that
do
was,
you
like,
mean
the,
I had been crying?
I don't know. I feel like you had maybe read something about, like, boats or...
No, I don't think so. What are you talking about?
I don't know. Maybe you were just crying because you were so passionate.
About the whales?
Yeah.
Stop. You're making me sound so cringe on this podcast.
But this is how my first interaction... No, I'm just kidding. But, like, one of my first experiences with you was hanging out at your house. You probably weren't crying, but...
I don't think I was crying. I've only cried about this podcast one time.
I was just saying, like, in general. Like,
in general.
You're just, like, a emotional person.
I'm an emotional person.
I cry all the time, too.
But that's the thing, is I feel like I don't cry all the time.
You don't, actually. So,
yeah.
Okay, never mind. Maybe you weren't. You probably weren't crying. But anyways.
I just want to establish that I'm not a little bitch.
And I am. But the point is that you had every single member of the Southern Residence on your wall. And I had never even heard of these whales. So
yeah.
My, like, first, like, getting to know you was, like, this was, like, a big part of your identity. And that was cute.
In a sense, yes.
It's changed. Over
this
was, like,
changed.
Several years ago.
Years ago. It was a big part of what I did, and it was a
But it was cool.
It was
you were really, like, passionate.
Yeah, to have it during COVID.
Right.
But it's just, it's wild. I don't know. Now that I'm, like, thinking back to that, yes. That was a very, like, passionate, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed time. And, like, since then, unfortunately, I'm a little bit less bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. And,
that
like,
happens.
It's not that I'm... less passionate. It's just, like, to be completely honest, have even so through the podcast, but, you know, more so through, like, the whale watching industry, have, like, seen and encountered things and people that have made me less passionate and less excited about stuff, which I hate to say that, you know?
But I think it's good to be transparent almost because, like, I think that's very, like, that happened with me just, like, at university, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's almost like a burnout situation or not, like,
yeah,
I don't know, maybe that's not the right
and one. No, I think that is what it is. It's like a burnout because, like, there's this weird energy in the whale watching community, in the whale community, where it's like I feel like a lot of people make whales their only thing, and my good friend Fred has, like, a good way of wording it, if, like, you know, all of us, like, whale people grew up in that whaleness kind of alone, mm-hmm. and then now we have to all share space together. And so I think, I don't know, there's a lot of just anytime there's wild animals or money, like, things just get weird.
People get possessive.
People
almost.
Get possessive, and, like, there's a lot of opportunity to, like, exploit whales and to exploit women, and that's, I have seen a lot of that, and that's, like, you know, in order for me to continue to do the work that I want to do and to connect people to wildlife, connect people to, like, whales specifically, and, you know, create and hopefully cultivate an environment that's more welcoming and safe to all people, because,
inclusive.
Like, that's inclusive. But, like, I do feel as though, like, you know, not just emotional safety. I don't want to sound too much like, I don't know, like
I'm openly a snowflake.
Oh,
so
like
you
a
can
snowflake.
Say whatever
yeah.
you want to
so,
say.
So, and that's the thing is, I feel like also too, we're just gonna have, like, an ADHD moment here of bouncing around everywhere. But,
sorry.
Like, I've talked on this podcast about the importance of vulnerability, and, like, I am being vulnerable right now, and I definitely do struggle to be open with my emotions, and, like, I have shared my thoughts, and that has, like, gotten me a lot of, like, really amazing things, but it's also gotten a bit of backlash. But, like, I don't want to come off too much as, like, a snowflake to be, like, like, parts of the industry are unsafe, but parts of them are, like, emotionally and even physically at times, and, like, you know, in order for me to be able to move forward and do the work that I want to do with, like, ultimately my goal is just to get people to care about nature and to get people to, like, everyone to wake up to the fact that climate change is a thing. And I know I can't change people's mind, but, like, I think that when people have that connection to nature, you know, I think your overall quality of life is just better. And then also, too, like, in that, you know, the planet can be better as well. So for me to be able to continue with pursuing that ultimate goal, I need to take a step back and focus on other things. And I feel like I've slowly taken a step back. Like, over the last, like, year or so, I just have not been consistent with the episodes. But also, the podcast is a lot of work. like, I always have a blast whenever I'm doing the interviews. Like, I'm always like, this is so fun and interesting and I love this. But then when it comes down to, like, editing, posting, and, like,
scheduling,
the scheduling has been the biggest thing for me. So, yeah, but it's been a journey. I've learned a lot. Like, I've definitely had some, like, experiences that I wouldn't otherwise have, like, because of it. I've made some friends that I wouldn't otherwise have made, like, because of it. It's just been, like, I feel like it's just been a weird time. Like, it's been good, but it's just been, it's been odd.
Yeah, and when, like, with the, like, innocent parts of the podcast, like, it is just really fun to sit and talk about, like, a interesting topic, whether it's the Southern residents or, like, animals that get high or, like, whatever random. Yeah. Or, like, you had a whole episode about Free Willy. Like, I listened to that episode. It was so good. Like, just any little, like, random niche marine science topic, like, that's been the, like, fun.
You know?
That's been a great part, like, my part that I've experienced from this.
So. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, yeah, it is fun. It's just, like, also, too, I think there's, like, I don't know, I feel like the world sees, I feel like I sound so cynical right now, but I feel like the world sees, like, on social media, like, the real world being presented as this very, like, fun-loving, like, happy thing, but there is a very dark side to it that has very much negatively impacted, like, my mental health and well-being. Like, you know, I'm transitioning out of a very toxic work environment, like, to the point where it was, like, I was waking up wanting to throw up, like, I was, like, having panic attacks, like, every day, if not every other day, and that's not something common for me, and so, like, you know, I'm just, like, making my transition out of that situation, but also, too, it's just, like, the community as a whole, like, you know, we kind of need to do better, and I'm not gonna be, like, oh, I'm beat down, I'm defeated, I just need a break, I just need a minute to recoup, to be able to continue to move forward, and, like, cultivate the environment that I want to have. I don't want to be somebody who gets bullied, or, like, especially women, I feel like get bullied and abused out of the industry a lot. And I don't want to be another one. And that's not to, like, say anything negative on anyone that's happened to, but more so to be, like, because of you, that's why I want this, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and I think it's really, like, healthy to realize, like, and, you know, I feel like the podcast hasn't been as much of a negative thing as maybe some other things, but, like, just, like, like, all of these things, you're just shifting your focus, really, and I think it's healthy to be able to realize, like, okay, yeah, like, you said to me, like, moments ago when we were eating dinner, you're like, I'm totally gonna get back to the podcast, you know, like, it's just time to take a break.
No, and I do think that I will, but I just need a minute to, like, focus on other things too. And also, like, I have a master plan and I need to, like, take time to, like, pursue that master plan and, like, you know, to there, like, I need to put my energy elsewhere for the current moment. And, like, I definitely do think I want to get back to the podcast. It has been something that's, like, important to me. But I need to, like, regroup, because I know that if I don't take care of myself and I don't, like, take the necessary time to, like, heal, that, like, I can't move forward in this work. And because I don't want to come across as jaded, like, that's the thing, is I don't want to be, like, you know, like, I've seen so much negative stuff, and, like, I've seen so much positive stuff too, and, like, you know, I do think it's important to take a minute to, like, note that too, is, like, I have friendships I would have never had, like, I've seen some of the most, like, passionate, caring people, like, you know, going after and, like, doing everything that they can to try to help the Southern Resident Killer Whales. And I've, like, it's crazy how many people want to come together and help the Southern Resident Killer Whales and how many different angles people have taken to do that. Like, that's just, like, something that's really amazing to see. So there's been a lot of positive, but I'm just kind of in a place where it's, like, I need to take time to focus on just getting my ducks in a row and, like, taking care of myself and, like, once I'm able to kind of focus more on the master plan, which is, not, you know, we're not going to dive into on the podcast.
The plan to take over the world.
The plan to take over the entire world.
Yeah.
Entire world, yes. And then we will put Gladys in charge. She will be the president. You don't know Gladys?
No.
What are you, Maddie's looking at me all confused.
I thought you would put Peaches in charge.
Well, okay. So, it's going to be co-presidents. It's going to be Peaches and Gladys. Gladys is, like, that one whale that's been taking down the boats.
Oh, we love Gladys.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. So okay. we're going to yes. put Gladys in charge.
I didn't know she had a name.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. So, yeah, so for world domination, no, but, yeah, I'm just trying to take the next steps in my career, and that requires a bit more focus.
Yeah.
So that's what we're doing. I hope that that wasn't too much of a ramble, and I hope that wasn't too
that's the main point.
Vulnerable for people, yeah.
Yeah. So you're never too vulnerable.
I don't know. I definitely struggle to share my feelings and emotions in general, but, like, especially in a public forum.
That's true.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So, anyways. But, yeah. So, we were kind of just going to, like, spend this episode kind of just talking about a couple of random things. Not necessarily one topic. Because it kind of seemed weird to be like, here's a topic. Goodbye. So, I guess we could dive into
the current events,
which one, Gladys.
Yeah, can you tell me more? Because so, I feel like I guess I didn't really
basically,
know.
Like, off the coast of Spain, there have been orcas attacking boats, and there's, like, I want to say there's, like, a couple hundred, like, instances where this has happened, but only, like, three of the boats they've actually, like, sunken or truly damaged. But it started with one whale who they call the Gladys whale, which means, like, gladiator whale, because she's just, like, attacking. And now I believe it's up to like 30 whales now that they're,
I remember looking this group up. Are they like the Iberian Strait or something?
Possibly.
Oh my God. What if I'm totally wrong?
That's, we could be so wrong and so embarrassing.
Never mind.
We're just so cringe.
But
so
they
cringe.
Are off the coast of Spain and Portugal.
Yeah. So yeah. That's so, true. yeah. But anyways, so they've been attacking boats. It's been a whole thing. Lots of people are like, why? Why are they attacking boats? I feel like we never really know why whales do things, but if I were to take a stab at it, I would say that, like, just based on what I've observed in killer whales, that it could just be, like, a playful thing, potentially, because, like, we see them play with birds to death, like, we'll see the southern residents play with harbor porpoise to death, like, they're not eating those animals, they're just playing with them, so it could be playful, and then I think there were some people that were suggesting it was some sort of trauma, that they just, like, only attack sailboats, but yes, it was a...
The Iberian Peninsula.
The Iberian Peninsula, yes. There you go. She just did a little Google.
Had to fact check myself.
We appreciate that, because I feel like sometimes people just put information out there, and then it's like, we confuse people. So, So that's been, like, a current event. Obviously, like, the Ocean Gate thing happened.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Wonder if Gladys was responsible for that.
I heard some theories.
Can we not make jokes about that yet?
It's too soon.
It's too soon?
Yeah. There was a kid.
That's true. There was a kid. That is really sad. I felt bad because he didn't want to go.
Yeah. I, like, well, the biggest thing for me with that news is I was, like, following the story every day.
Yeah.
Like, while they were running out of oxygen. But they didn't run out of oxygen. They just imploded.
Imploded.
And I just can't wrap my head around that. That's crazy.
The whole thing just, like, reading through everything, just, like, nothing made sense. Like, the fact that they used, like, three different materials on the ship that, like, or would we even call it a ship, on the sub that contract...
Submersible.
On the submersible that contract at different, like, temperatures and altitudes.
I did see.
And then the fact with the Xbox controller, that's how they controlled it, and, like,
can you
the
imagine,
engineer that they fired, and...
Can you imagine? Because the other thing, too, is, like, they couldn't, like, there was no, like, escape, like, safe, like... They got onto the submersible, and then it was, like, bolted shut from the outside.
Yeah.
I would never...
I just, like, cannot imagine, like, wanting to get into that, like, personally. But also, too, like, working on Coast Guard-inspected vessels, like, the things that you have to jump through, like, you can't just turn any boat into, like, a passenger carry vessel, which is essentially what these people were trying to do, was, like, passenger carry vessel just means that you basically take people out who are paying money. But, like, fishing vessels that it's, like, commercial fishing... And, like, you know, just, or when people take their personal fishing vessels out, like, the electric wiring's different. Like, the way that they, like, manufacture the hull is different. Like, there's different compartments that you need to have. Like, there's so many things that you need to have. Like, life rest. Like, I'm pretty sure there's a certain number of escape routes that you're supposed to have depending on the size of the boat. And the fact that, like, because this was, like, a submersible and it was somewhere else, like, it's just wild to me that, they got, like, away with, not away with it, but that they were allowed.
Well, that was the thing too, is I think that guy was clever enough to be like, to know, like, they did it in, they launched, like, in, what do you call that? Where you're, like, far enough off the coast where you're, like, in international waters or whatever.
Yeah.
So he didn't have to, like, have any certifications, you know? Like, he, like, went through all these loopholes. Yeah.
The whole thing's crazy. Just, like, looking back, just like, wow, how did all this...
And I don't get people's obsession with, like, the Titanic. I've said that before. But...
You have said that before. I think it's just, like, because of the movie.
Yeah, which, like, I still don't understand.
And also, too, I think that people just, like, in general have, like, a morbid curiosity about things. Like, they're like, oh.
True.
That could have killed me. Whoa, that could have been me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess everyone tweets their own, like.
Yeah.
Like, I'm curious about weird things, too, I guess.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's wild.
So, yeah, Oceangate happened.
Oceangate happened.
Submersible. Didn't make it.
And then now we have two L-Pod babies, which is a very exciting way to end the Southern Resident podcast.
Isn't it?
Yes.
You're right.
So, I believe there's one boy and one girl, which is good, because I feel like we've had a lot of girls, but we need girls to, like, have babies, so that's good. But
they're about 2 months old.
Yeah.
That's what Seattle Times says.
We love the Seattle Times.
The babies are L126 and L127, offspring to the moms L119 and L94.
We love.
Mm-hmm.
So there we continue to have hope for this population.
And so far the babies appear healthy. That's as of July.
We love that. We love some healthy baby whales. Yeah. Healthy baby endangered whales. We're here for it. We love it. It's
yeah, great. That's really big news, actually.
Yeah, that is pretty big news. The fact that there's two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is a big deal.
It's pretty awesome. So we have that. I think Maddie was going to tell us a little bit about her attempting to see Lolita.
Yes. Well, yeah, the update on Lolita, because we talked about Lolita.
Yeah.
There's really no real crazy update, like, since they announced that plans were being made to release her. The only, like, real update would be that, like, people are really pressing for her to be released, like, in a, like, faster timeline, because hurricane season has, like, just started in Florida, and her tank is, like, really, like, not well, like, it either should be repaired or demolished, basically, according to, like, all the regulations. And, like, yeah, it's too small for a killer whale, most importantly, and it probably wouldn't survive a hurricane. But yeah, I went on a trip to Florida just for fun, because I'm on summer break and I'm a teacher, and I thought it would be fun to go to Florida. And I wanted to try and see Lolita, and, like, so my first idea was to, like, buy a drone, but that was, like, a really last-minute idea, and so I...
Which I thought it was, like, wild, because she was, like, texting me that, like, maybe I should buy a drone, and I was, like, for what?
And I was trying to be secretive, too, because I don't know, like, I'm not, like, part of this community that really, like, at all, and I do have, like, this fascination with Lolita, I'll tell you that, and, mm-hmm. And, yeah, so I thought, like, I had this, like, grand, like... scheme that I was gonna buy a drone, which I've never flown a drone before in my life, and take it with me to Florida and fly it over the Miami Seaquarium to, like, get a view of Lolita. But I couldn't get my hands on a drone. They weren't available in Arizona.
I feel like it was meant to be, because I feel like you would have gotten arrested. Like,
yeah, that too. I know.
You're not, like, sly. You're not sneaky. Like, I love you. You're just chaotic.
I like to think I'm sneaky.
Yeah, you love to think that.
But, yeah, you're right. And I was, like, messaging people on Instagram, like, this one guy told me the best place to do it is, like, from the bus stop, like, so you, like, stand at the bus stop, and you point your antennas towards the Seaquarium, and I'm like, I don't know, like, at all how to operate a drone. Anyway, so yeah, the drone thing didn't work out, so I did buy a ticket to Miami Seaquarium, which I will, like, say, like, I don't really have any regrets in life, but I regret giving $30 to the Miami Seaquarium, because it was shitty. And you can't even see Lolita, which I guess, like, the more I think about it, makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like her condition, like, I've seen, like, drone videos, and it looks, like, really sad.
Yeah.
She has, like, two dolphins in there.
Yeah.
And she just logs at the surface all day. And apparently, like, she's not even, like, watched. Like, I feel like if like, there's a killer whale in a facility, like SeaWorld, for example, like, has 24-hour, like, surveillance.
Yeah.
Like, human surveillance.
Yeah.
Watching the whale. Anyways, so that's really sad. So she's, yeah, in really, really terrible conditions. But then I thought, you know, like, okay, like, Miami Sea Aquarium, like, it, you know, it might have some, like, redeeming qualities. Like, it's an aquarium, you know? Like, I kind of was trying to give it the benefit of the doubt. Although I will say, when I parked in the parking lot, I had this gut feeling that was like, this is not right.
Yeah.
Also, there was no one there, and it was, like, summertime. So that was kind of good, I guess.
Yeah.
But it was worse than any SeaWorld I've ever been to. The manatees couldn't even turn around in their tank. Like,
that's wild.
And they just, like, looked not happy.
I'm surprised to hear that about the manatees, because, like, I was under the impression that in order to hold manatees, like, there's only certain facilities that can have them because they're endangered, which is interesting that the same, like, rules are not put in place for, like, southern residents, but it could just be that there's, like, less southern residents. Like, manatees are getting hit by boats and needing rehabilitation, like, all the time. Southern residents, not so much. But, like, I'm just surprised that, like, it's not, there's not better condition for the manatee. So I feel like there's a lot of regulations that go into being allowed to keep a manatee.
And that's surprising to me, because I did not, like, know that. I really don't know anything about manatees, except for that they live in Florida. So I was thinking, like, oh, Miami Sea Aquarium should have, like, a bangin' manatee situation going on. Like, I remember when I was a kid at SeaWorld, like, they had a good little manatee thing going on, you know, like, the rescue, rehab, whatever the fuck. No, this was, they had two big, like, gigantic, they were, like, really big. I feel like, I guess manatees are big, but West Indian manatees, so not even, like, Florida manatees, and they, like, there was no, like, signage to indicate that they were rescued, like, there was nothing, it was, like, really, like, odd, and this tank they were in was just a big blue circle with, like, no, it was, like, just sad, you know?
Yeah.
And they couldn't even, like, turn around. Like, it's like having a dog in a too small kennel kind of thing.
Yeah, for sure.
So that felt really sad. And that was the first time I cried while I was there. When I saw the manatees. And then, I was telling Erica, they just, like, were, like, preaching that the California sea lions were in trouble. Meanwhile, they have a literal, like, endangered killer whale, like, off exhibit. I did ask. I was like, so, like, can I see the killer whale? And they were like, she's retired. I don't know. It's just, the whole thing was, like, very
suspicious. In a way, I kind of feel like that's, like, meaner, in a sense, like, to, like, have her completely with no stimulation. Like, obviously, I'm not a killer whale trainer, but, like, just based on what I know about killer whales, like, I feel like her even just visually seeing people
would, like, be some sort of, like,
would be some sort of, like, enrichment. Like, even if they don't do it all the time, even if it's, like, certain times.
Well, because even they had, like, a, like, I'm sickened that I watched a dolphin show, but, like, they had a dolphin show, and I was there, and, like, otherwise, without the dolphin show, the dolphins just swim in circles all day.
Yeah.
So I was, like, at least, like,
there's some exercise or something.
Yeah, I mean, I get it, like, I don't, obviously, I bought a ticket to this place, but I don't really support dolphin shows or, like, SeaWorlds or stuff like that. That's not really my thing, but, yeah. And then the other thing, too, that I was like, oh, maybe they'll have a, you know, like, a redeeming thing here with their, like, African Blackfoot penguin exhibit. Because, if you don't know, African Blackfooted penguins are critically endangered as well. Like, even Arizona, we have a species survival plan, breeding them and stuff. And this was, like, animal cruelty, I swear. There are, like, six penguins in there, and it was dirty, it was small, it was dark, like, it was so sad.
Yeah, that is sad. Yeah, I feel like it's one of those things that, like, I'm all for giving the benefit of the doubt, like, and I'm all for making your own decisions and opinions and choices, and obviously we're gonna hear a lot of things
about
a lot of things.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like, we're in just in general. But, like, so, like, I mean, I get you being like, oh, you know, I'm upset that I gave them money. But, like, you know that for sure now, and you can say for sure. Which, like, of course, like, we'd prefer to not give them money and be able to, like, investigate it in other ways. But, like, you know, I think there is something to be said for going and seeing it with your own eyes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I really wanted to, although I will say, like, I don't know, call it, like, spirituality or whatever, but I could feel, like, the connection. Like, I knew Lolita was, like, right on the other side of this.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's just a sad subject, but and I'd seen all the other southern residents here in Monterey.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So I was like, Yeah, which I feel like I could have gone my whole life, I think I said, without seeing them and been fine, but yeah, that was really special.
For sure.
But poor Lolita, it really seems like, yeah, like solitary confinement, and that's just not...
Yeah, which it also makes me wonder, too, like, if that's the state that she's been in for who knows how long, why do they even want to keep her? Because at that point, you're not really making money off of her.
It's, like, costing them money, I'm sure.
Yeah, so it's just weird. The whole thing's weird.
Yeah, and now I'm, like, you know, following all these Instagrams with, like, these, like, activist folks, and, yeah, I don't know, I hear a lot of, like, one-sided stuff, but, yeah, just not good things, Yeah, there's no real, like, evidence or real facts, so I won't, like, say that too much, but...
Yeah, and I feel like that's kind of the thing that's hard with animal ethics, is that, like, we don't know what's going on in the animal's world, like, and obviously we can make our own, like, conclusions based on, okay, a killer whale can travel 100 miles in a day, should it be in a tiny tank? Probably not, you know?
Right, right.
You know, and, like, watching them deteriorate, of course everybody goes with the collapsed dorsal saying that that's, like, a terrible thing, but if you look at their teeth are really bad too, whenever, like, you know, they're in these tanks. So it's hard to, you know, obviously I think with animal ethics it can get a bit sticky because we can never fully know what that experience is going to be like for the animal.
And but, I think, like, the killer whale captivity is so, like, polarizing.
It's so polarizing.
So, yeah, I don't have, like, I mean, obviously I lean one way a little bit more, but I'm not, like...
I feel like everything whale-related is polarizing. And I think Kendra has a really good way of putting this, is that just, like, there's so many people in the, like, environmental field that are just so passionate that, like, of course, like, you know, people are going to butt heads or whatever, but it's just, like, sometimes sad to see that, like, there can be a lack of, like, maturity or emotional intelligence enough to be able to, like... work together towards a common goal despite disagreeing on seemingly minor things. And or even if they are big things, just work together on, like, bigger things because we just waste more energy. Like, I feel like that was a big theme that I noticed with the Southern Resident Killer Whales is a lot of whale people spend a lot of time fighting each other versus, like, being like, okay, I see that you see this differently. Let's work together on whatever.
I'll do this. Yeah, totally.
You know, which... I mean, I get, like, if, you know, people are on the defense, they feel like they need to, like, defend themselves.
But they forget, like, the cause, right? Like, or, like, what are we really trying to do here?
Yeah, and I think that's what's really important. That's also part of why I'm stepping back, is because, like, I feel like at times, like, I get caught up in, like, just being an anxious mess because of, kind of, like, the way that the community operates and the way that the world is. And, like, it's hard not to be cynical when, like, we live in the world that we do where it's, like, our politicians don't care. I, like, find more and more people in the industry, like, that choose to exploit women and whales, like, you know, for profit, for clout, for whatever. And it's just, like, a seemingly common and accepted thing. And, you know, it's hard not to be cynical. And, like, I just feel bad because I'm, like, I'm just complaining, but I'm also, like, realistically, like, I gotta regroup so I can...
Yeah, well, I've gone through a phase of that, too, where I, like, was, like, pretty whale-obsessed, I would say. But I don't know, I studied marine science and lived here and stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, went whale-watching, like, pretty frequently. And, like, then I became really, really jaded. And, like, obviously, like, what we do is different, but, like...
But it's kind of the same.
Yeah, but now, like, I went on a whale watch with you, what, like, 2 days ago? And I see, like, one little humpback whale, and I get... so excited, you know, like, he's so cute, he's the perfect whale, like, I don't know, like, I took a break, and now I'm, like, excited about seeing a single humpback, but whereas before I'd be like, oh yeah, like, you know, like, just one humpback, come on, you know.
No, I feel you. I think it's important to take breaks and stuff, and it's like, I've gotten to the point where it's like, okay, I know I need to step away, because also I was kind of half-assing it, too, of, like, posting, like, when I do something, I want to give it, like, my whole heart and my all, like, I'm not really good at half doing something, and that's what I felt like I was doing.
And then you're, like, hard on yourself.
And then I'm hard on myself, yeah. So we're, you know, that's what we're up to. But, you know, overall, this has been, like, a journey. I feel like I am, like, a better naturalist because of the podcast, because I've gotten to talk to so many people and learn so many different perspectives, and I have, you know, a lot of information that I can share with passengers when they come on board.
Your, like, speaking skills have grown.
Yeah, I would say so.
Relationships. Yeah. And if I could, just to wrap up about the Lolita Miami Sea Crime thing.
Yes.
So now if you could just hear from me, whoever's hearing this, like, like, you don't need to go to see for yourself because you will cry probably.
You will cry.
I mean, yeah.
What's with you and like thinking everyone's going to cry and, or that everyone was crying?
I don't know. I love crying. Like crying is good. Crying is good. And yeah, I mean, I think the listeners know that I was like an active addiction for a while and like,
that's true.
I just didn't experience emotions for that time, you know?
That's
like,
wild.
I was, like, so numb. And so now I'm like, if you have an emotion, feel it.
Yeah.
Just which I think feel it.
Is probably healthier. And I definitely, like, in theory, know that that's the thing. And I feel like I've preached that, like, a little bit on this podcast because, like, I see how when people don't heal themselves, it can interfere with the big goal, the big picture.
Yeah.
And so, like, I do feel like it is relevant to, like, conservation work and to wildlife and whales. But sometimes
but it's uncomfy to be angry.
It's so uncomfy. It's majorly uncomfy.
Or sad, you know, but, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, no, I agree with you. Feel your feels. Heal your shit. But, yeah. I mean, I like how you said that I was crying at the beginning. I'm still, like, when was I crying?
Okay, do you want to know? It was after you read all those papers. This was a separate day.
This was a separate day.
I just put the two together.
Okay, that's what I thought, because that's the one time I can think about, like, crying.
You remember
about
what I'm talking about
I
now,
do
right?
What you're talking about.
But that was different.
That was a different time.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But, yeah, I, like, came over and you, like, had all the whales on the wall. Like, every single one, and I was like, what is this?
What is this? It's home decor.
This girl is obsessed.
Well, it's home decor for
one. It looks cool. It looks cool.
It's home decor, but also it was actually very helpful.
Yeah.
Whenever I would like be doing podcast stuff and I could physically look up to the wall.
Oh, this is L, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
It was pretty cool, honestly. Like,
yeah.
Like, I'd have that on my wall.
I still have them. I just don't have anywhere to put them in my house.
I have my anchovy research paper on my wall.
Amazing. And you do, you saw that giant squid thing?
I do. I don't have a place for that either, though.
That's wild.
Yeah. It's a, what kind of squid is it? Humboldt squid.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's Dorytuthis gigantus or something. I could be wrong. But anyway, Humboldt squid, it's a print, you know? Like, we painted the dead body of a Humboldt squid and then stamped it on a sheet.
That's wild.
It looks really cool. Smells a little fishy still.
Still a little fishy.
Yep.
That's disgusting.
But it's, like, authentic.
But it's authentic.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, do you have anything else you care to say?
Like, lastly, if anyone wants a really cool experience and you're in the Scottsdale, Phoenix area, go to the Phoenix Herpetological Sanctuary because they have a capybara experience. And I went there recently and it was well worth my time and money spent.
Nice.
Yeah, I gotta rub on a capybara.
And this is run by Fish and Game, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's, like, legit.
Okay. Well, yeah. I always, like...
I'm, like, the same way, but it, like, started as just, like, a snake and lizard. Like, people who had to surrender.
Okay.
Like, couldn't, you know, instead of releasing. But then, apparently, someone was illegally keeping alligators in Arizona, like, in their pool.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And so, but like through the years, first it was like a guy who just worked for Fish and Game.
Yeah.
Arizona Fish and Game. And then eventually Fish and Game like bought the property.
Okay.
And now like runs it. And so now they have, you know, like, they have like over 300 sulcata tortoises, which like people get as pets and don't know that they get really gigantic.
Oh.
They had like... And then they adopt. So you can go there and, like,
adopt
a reptile or whatever.
Oh, that's interesting.
So now I know, like, if I'm ever going to get another reptile, like, I'll get from them.
Okay.
So it was, like, it was pretty... And everything was, like, really well... I mean, reptiles are really easy to care for.
Yeah, for sure.
For the most part. But, you know, like, they don't need, like...
Yeah.
You know, they're pretty low maintenance. But, they, like, they had this albino rattlesnake that they told us. They're like, yeah, like, this rattlesnake came into our possession because it literally killed its owner. So don't own venomous snakes.
It literally killed its owner.
And like...
I didn't know that rattlesnakes could kill you.
Are you kidding? Rattlesnakes are very venomous.
Yeah, but I...
And it's a hemotoxin. So you get bit and it like...
Actually, it might be a neurotoxin. But either way, you will die if you don't get antivenom.
How long do you have?
Like, only a few hours. Like, you will die. Like, no one lives.
Roger.
Like, literally. Oh, like, they're very deadly.
For some reason, I don't know why, but I thought, which is, like, silly, I thought that that was not the case.
No. They're, like, a full-on viper.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, roger that.
Cobras. Don't own a cobra, like, unless you're, like, an expert.
I just don't want to show why anyone would want to own any of that.
But that's what I'm saying. So, like, this, like, collector had this, like, snake, and then they, like, found, like, the body and then rescued the snake. I don't know who found it, but anyway.
That's wild.
It's like, the snake's badass.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Damn.
Anyway.
Anyway. Well.
That's all. That's all.
Yes. Thanks, everyone, for listening to this episode and coming along for this journey.
Wow.
It's been a time.
This is it.
This is it, at least for now. I feel honored
to be, like, on this finale episode.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks.
In your, like, fairy village house.
Yes.
With your dog and your cat.
Well, it's not really my cat.
Yeah.
My...
You could announce.
Well, I think I already found a home for it. No, but if I don't find a home, there may be a cat if you live
It's a very good cat.
It's a very good cat. In the Monterey Bay area. Very sweet. In a cat.
She's young. She's spry.
She's spry.
She's cuddly.
She's snuggly. Yes, yeah. Very snuggly. But yes, I feel like I wish I had more words. I don't have more words, though, so.
I feel like you've kind of been building to this point, though, like, this is just, like.
Yeah, this is just a formality.
Yeah.
I feel like the people know. I feel like I, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But thank you for listening.
Less trouble, more bubbles.
Less trouble, more bubbles. Gang, gang. We love it. All right. Well, goodbye for now.
All right. Signing out.
Signing out.